Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Red Hot Comic Book Movie News. Defenders of the Earth. Defenders. The Weekly Planet. The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
Great to be here.
Isn't it, just?
James, we're having a bit of fun off-air.
Sure.
We
don't like doing.
We don't like doing. We'd rather not do it, honestly. Mm. But you've hit a winner, James.
Yeah.
And you've named the backup recorder Ricardo Montalban, which I think...
That's not anything.
No, it's not even a reference anybody gets anymore. He's the guy from Fantasy Island.
And he's Khan.
Oh, yeah, he's Khan
also.
His original recipe Khan.
That's right. So, big week this week, Mason, because, of course,
Because, of course, you named the backup recorder Ricardo Montalban.
That is a big deal, yes.
Big week.
Everyone's
That's it.
Talking about
Wrap it. Wrap it up, folks. That's what we did.
We are going to be talking about 3-hour Hunger Game prequel, but before we get to that, we've got a bunch of trailers we've got to look at.
Are you choked up because you're so emotional?
I'm so emotional, Mason.
About Ricardo Montalban.
That's right. It's good to change lives, you know?
Yeah.
Often I feel like this doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, but I think this will give people the inspiration, mm-hmm. I think, to name things around their house.
Absolutely, you know? Yeah.
Not as good as that.
No,
obviously,
obviously not. Yeah.
But, you know, you can name your table Joe or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Just man. Whatever.
Just whatever.
Okay, so we got trailers for What If Season 2, Garfield. That other one, anyone but you.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Look, I don't really want to talk about that. We're going to talk about Madame Web.
Right? Oh, yeah, of course we are. Yeah, we're not going to bury the lead here.
No.
Everybody wants us to talk about the trailer for the latest entry in the SPUM.
That's right.
The Sony Pictures universe of Marvel movies.
My goodness.
A movie that I thought was made up,
yeah.
Quite frankly, for tax purposes, but it turns out to be real. Big week for Sydney Sweeney in movies.
Absolutely.
In movie trailers, certainly, because she's in this,
yep.
And she's in Anyone But You.
Exactly.
But who cares about that one?
Doesn't matter.
It'll be fine. That movie will be fine.
It'll be fine. It's set in Australia, whatever, I think. We're also going to talk about Kang Dynasty, the next Avengers movie, being retooled and moving away from Kang and what's going on there, because it's lost a director and a writer apparently this week. And there's a whole lot of Marvel casting as well, including Reed Richards and some other names.
Maybe.
Going up for various characters, including Galactus.
Mm.
Apparently the DC something, Superman as a villain, the lead villain has been cast. We'll talk about that in the next Superman movie. There's been a turnaround on Coyote versus Acme movie.
That's right.
The movie that was cancelled for tax purposes and now might be brought back due to...
For public relations purposes.
Yeah, exactly.
And people not wanting to work with the Warner Brothers purposes.
Exactly. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the Marvels and its second week box office performance. And let me tell you, Mason, it's quite dire.
Boy, is it ever, yes.
And then we'll talk about 3-hour Hunger Games prequel. All right, Mason. Do you want to talk about the What If trailer for the next season? What If? Go on.
I thought it looked like a lot of fun.
Sure. Let's do it. Who's in it? There's a Christmas episode.
There is a Christmas episode, which seems to be somewhat that's the funny one. That's kind of
die hard
inspired.
Happy Hogan.
Happy Hogan and Darcy from the Thor movies is in that one. It looks like this season, again, like the previous one, it's going to have some unconnected what ifs, but then they're all maybe going to dovetail into one another.
Yep, absolutely.
Towards the end. And this one... Remember we got that list of What If episode titles a while back?
Yeah.
Are they accurate?
I don't know if the titles necessarily were, but it seemed like the premises.
So we've got one here. I think maybe the biggest one, or the one that's most interesting to me, is the...
Trailers Ahoy.
Yep. when you know, in the Guardians movies, Peter Quill was kidnapped from Earth as a child to be taken to his father, who was Ego, the living planet. But instead, the Ravagers take him on as a Ravager. But there seems to be a what if here where he has been he's taken directly to Ego, and then they decide to go back to Earth and, you know, wreck it and stuff.
Wreck it and stuff.
Yeah, and so Peter Quill goes back to Earth as a teenager, but he's got the Ego powers and he's going to cause a ruckus.
Absolutely.
So like a 1990s?
Yeah-ish, yeah. That seems about early
90s. Avengers team has to form up, which includes T'Chaka, the Black Panther.
Yep, Thor.
Annette Bening's character from Captain Marvel.
Okay, yep.
Who's a Kree.
Yep.
Others.
Original Ant-Man.
Original Ant-Man.
Yeah. Michael Dougley.
Mr. Michael Dougley.
Yeah.
And Hayley Atwell's Peggy Carter as the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. And maybe some other people.
Yeah, I don't hate that concept, actually.
Looks like fun, yeah. Sure.
All right. I was just too excited about the Madam Web thing.
That's true.
You're right. There are some good things on display here. And they're going to bring these out. I think it's like December 22nd, and they're going to do one a day for 9 days.
Yeah.
Which is a very interesting way
like
to do it.
The 9 days of Christmas. The traditional 9 days of Christmas.
Traditional 9 days. So yeah,
they should do 12, I think, just to tie into Christmas, and three of them can just be like, what if this happened? No, it was basically the same.
But it didn't. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Oh, it was the same?
It's basically the same.
Here's a clip of that movie.
Oh, what if it did, but it didn't? Just a guy shooting it down? Yeah, okay. Well, it didn't, I do it.
Yeah. I just want to quickly talk about the Garfield trailer, because just the design-wise, like, they've pushed everybody's eyes together, so it's one big goopy eye.
Now, somebody pointed this out.
I hate it. Look at it.
Somebody pointed this out. Yeah, no, I hate it also.
Yeah.
Someone pointed out on Twitter, and it's staggering that I never picked up on this. Maybe it's not because I'm dumb.
That's fine.
But that all these animated movies now have a prologue where the main character is a little version.
Yeah, okay.
So you can sell the merch of the little cute version.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So, you know.
Is it cuter than this version, the Bill Murray version?
No, it's very cute.
He's got the same texture as the lasagna.
Yep, because he's ate so much lasagna, he turned like into a lasagna. Mason, didn't you learn anything from your parents when they said don't eat so much lasagna, you'll turn into lasagna?
I didn't learn anything from my parents. Mm. They made sure of that, Mason.
That's right.
How do you feel about Chris Pratt's Garfield?
It's just Chris Pratt's voice, isn't it?
But he's Garfield this
time. Oh, that's pretty good.
That's the twist.
That's quite the twist.
Yes.
And he's got a good agent.
He just certainly does, yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, Chris, it's, he knows what he's doing.
It's Garfield, like, it's fine.
It's Garfield, it's fine, but it's not
who
like.
Who cares?
Yeah, he doesn't have like a completely flat affect like a lot of actors who go into voice acting do.
Mm.
But also, why not just give him
he's not a terrible voice actor either. He's a bunch of voice acting. Yeah.
But also, why doesn't Garfield have the same Garfield voice he's always had?
The one where he goes, ooh.
Yeah, exactly. The Bill Murray voice.
The Bill Murray voice, exactly. Or the Lorenzo Music voice.
That's right.
It's a fun thing. Yeah, and I guess Anyone But You, which is the big rom-com of the season.
That's right. Rom-coms are back
for
good.
That's right. Even though there were several this year and they all bombed. But this
that's right. This is the one that'll do
this
it.
This is the one,
because it's got abs.
And we know the story this time around.
Yeah, so the premise is, because for people who don't remember, the last trailer was a little bit disastrous in the sense that
this?
It didn't give anything away. It was all vibes. It was all sexy vibes.
It could have been a Mint Mobile commercial. It
could have been a Mint Mobile commercial.
Mm.
But this one, so Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney's characters, they went on a date once. They ultimately decided they didn't like one another.
Oh.
But they're going on a destination wedding, yuck, to Sydney, double yuck.
Boo.
And it turns out each one of them has somebody there that they need to trick into thinking they're a couple. So they're going to do that.
But what if they fall in love?
I don't think they will.
Okay.
I think they'll
fall off the boat and drown?
Yeah, I think that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah, okay.
I think they'll get with the people they want to get with and movie will end.
They don't seem like they like each other. That's probably for the best.
Yeah, I think so too.
To be honest, yeah. Mm. Oh, by the way, this time goes below. If you're doing a jump to anything, Colin Swedes
I hope this movie ends with them both not getting together.
Yep.
And then years later they encounter the people they were trying to get with farcical vacation.
Mm.
And like the woman's like, oh, you were trying to make me jealous, but you appeared to have a girlfriend, so I didn't do anything. Why would I mean like basic societal convention would suggest that I wouldn't try and get with you
if
you
would have
had a girlfriend.
It would have been more attractive if you were secure in yourself and weren't chasing anything.
That's right.
And were just being a cool guy.
Or just ask me out on a date like normal, you know?
Or maybe you had a cool car.
Yeah, cool car.
Yeah, that's the key to anything, isn't it?
Or you had abs.
Or had abs, yeah.
Ah.
Oh, my God.
Ah. Ugh. Well, I'm going to jump off this boat then.
Oh, my God. Anyway, forget all that. Don't even worry about it. Because, Mason, next up. We've got the fabled, or some even say much maligned, in association with Marvel
That's right.
tag at the start of this trailer.
I would say it's a guarantee of badness.
Yeah. Bad to fine?
No, bad to less bad, but still bad.
So you don't like either of the... I thought you liked one of the Venom movies, maybe.
It's fine. I mean, they haven't gone back
That's
to
what
it.
I said, bad to fine.
Have we done a commentary on Venom 1?
Maybe.
See? We don't know.
Did we?
It feels like something we would have done.
Yeah, but then we didn't.
But all we did.
Yeah, that's right.
So don't. I just don't know.
Let me check.
There are people screaming at iPods right now. They're like, you didn't, you stupid idiots.
I don't think we have.
Okay. Oh, maybe that's next on the list.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll reignite my love for the Spum universe.
Hang on. Somebody who's kind enough, Raw Collings, actually, of course, who edits this, has put the list up on Reddit, and no, we haven't done it. And if anybody knows, it's him.
Yep.
Yeah, we haven't done any Spum, I don't think. Anyways, Mason, so basically,
it's time for the ladies to do some Spum.
That's right. Let me just say this, and we say this a lot. Maybe I say it a lot. Anything can be good.
Absolutely.
No, wait. Okay. The director of this is S.J. Clarkson. She's directed episodes, mostly TV, but Jessica Jones, Succession, Anatomy of a Scandal was a recent series, which was quite good. She's worked on genuinely good things.
Okay.
But this is Spum we're talking about, is going to be terrible.
The bar is low.
Yep.
But the standards at the studio are also low.
That's right.
That's their slogan. That's what it says when you come into their offices. It's above the desk of the receptionist.
Just two bars to trip over on your way in.
Yeah.
One after the other.
In fact, that's all you have to do to get the gig. Because there's two bars and you just have
if
to
you
hop
could,
them.
Yeah. No, I think they'd give them to you if you tripped over them. If you cleared them, they'd be like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
We don't do that here.
What do you think? You're too good for us? No, but I just went over the get out. Get out.
So somebody mentioned that this looks like one of those movies that was revealed in the Sony hack. Remember they were like, Aunt May is a spy and it's the 70s.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, I don't know. I can't even think of another example. Just terrible nonsense.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know, it's that. I mean, because there's like Ben Parker is in this.
It's Adam Scott this time
which
around.
Which is like the cast is good. And, you know, even the idea of, like, there's an evil Spider-Man that they have to defeat.
First of all, I was going to say, like, the thing you said earlier, which I was going to make fun of, which is anything can be good. You're right, you know, and again, you know, the reason the Avengers lineup is the way that it is in the movies is because those characters didn't sell. And they were just available and they made it work and they got, you know, stars that were...
They also put them in costumes.
They sure did.
And individual movies.
And they made They told some tall tales about them that weren't even real.
Yeah.
They weren't even real stories about those actors.
True.
But, you know, so these characters could be good.
Yeah.
You know, they are all pre-existing Spider-Man characters, which is why Spum gets first crack at it.
But you don't just want to go, let's just make a Spider-Woman movie?
Yeah. Why is it all the
Spider-Women? Four different Spider-Women, and I can guarantee it, because we get glimpses of, like, them in the costumes and whatever, but I reckon that's a look into the future or a bit at the end, maybe.
That's 100% the final battle.
I don't think it is. I would be shocked if that was in the actual movie.
The premise is kind of interesting, I thought.
Or
at least initially. Yeah. Also, by the way, this trailer has, I think, pretty much the whole movie in it.
Yep.
So if you don't want to know anything about it, don't watch the trailer or listen to us talk about it right now. Skip ahead. It seemed like so Dakota Johnson's character is getting visions.
She's got Nicolas Cage's next powers from the movie Next.
Or Knowing?
No.
Maybe it's a combination of Nicolas Cage's next powers and Nicolas Cage's Knowing powers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The two of his best powers.
She's got Next Knowing. But so she's receiving visions that there is
something. Because she died.
She
fell into a multiverse, maybe?
She fell into some water.
Yeah.
She's a paramedic.
Because Madame Web in the comics is like a woman who's like 90 years old and sits in a big web chair.
One of the versions of Madame Web.
Okay, calm down, nerd.
But then I think the current version was a spider woman.
Okay, right.
Like one of the spider women, like the...
But this one has the name of original Madame Web, right? Or if she doesn't, I don't
know. Madame Web.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
There's a lot about this that I'm not even going to pretend that I know.
Mm.
But anyway, she was a paramedic.
Yep.
Because she loves to save lives.
It's very noble.
But she drowns and then she comes back with Next Knowing Powers.
Yep.
Nicolas Cage Next Knowing Powers.
Mm-hmm.
Nicolas's Next Knowing Powers. And she keeps receiving visions of a Spider-Man-esque character who keeps murdering her and a bunch of other women.
Yes.
And I thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, if you're in a Spider-Man universe, there'd be weirdo copycats and psychopaths. And
this one happens to have actual spider powers, it seems, because...
Or at least murder powers.
Sure. But he can jump and swing, maybe.
Maybe.
Strangle.
Sure.
But there's a moment where, like, she's like, what's the line? Because her mother is associated, much like this is in association with Marvel, with spider research in the jungle.
Ezekiel Sims.
Who, yeah.
He was in the Amazon with my mom when she was researching spiders right before she died, which I think is a line that has been like 80 yards specifically for the trailer.
Yeah, okay.
I imagine that it's probably been patched together from other dialogue in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
They've like, but also... You don't need this for the...
Absolutely not.
You don't need it for the trailer. Why is it in the trailer?
He can just be a guy murdering
people. He's just being weird. What's going on?
Yeah. That should be the line. Yeah. What's going on?
What's going on?
Could somebody explain this to me?
Well, he was...
Do I have the knowing powers or the next powers?
Well, he was in the Amazon with my mom when she was researching spiders right before she died.
Yeah, man.
So there.
Yeah, so there. And he wants to kill all the spider women because he also has the Nicolas Cage next to knowing powers, I think.
Maybe.
Or she suspects that he does. And the thing is, every time he goes and kills them, she can see the future and then she can go in and, like, circumvent that.
Maybe.
And then she's constantly on the run using the Nicolas Cage next to knowing powers, which is quite good. Also, I think this is set in the 90s. I don't know.
It's hard to say, isn't it? Because if it's...
It's like Ben Parker's, like... Oh, he's a bit older. But nothing like about it...
But nothing suggests... Like, nothing in the
No, there's a computer. There's like a 90s-ish computer.
Okay, I was going to say nothing about the clothing or whatever gives any suggestion.
No, it's just
that it's...
red leather jacket and civvies on everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it... What?
We all know each other. We're connected like a web.
Well, you know each other like knowing?
Yeah.
That's the first clue that it's the knowing powers, not the next powers.
Okay, right.
Isn't it? A bunch of things. I saw a little clip of Dakota Johnson. She was like, I've always loved Marvel movies.
Okay.
No, you haven't.
Settle that. And if you did, you wouldn't do this.
You wouldn't do this. You'd avoid this specifically.
You do it.
It's okay. But I get also, like, we'll talk about Rachel Zegler later in this episode. Yeah. But I guess women can't just say it's a job. Like, it's I wanted the job. They offered me the job.
Yeah.
They said, you look like this character.
Do you want $8 million? Whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You look like this character from the comic books. Do you want to do this job? You're a good actor, whatever.
Yeah.
Yes, I'll take it. You can't say that because people will get mad at you.
Mm.
But whereas they won't if you're a male actor and just be like, job's a job.
Job's a job. I love it. Yeah, like Tony Gilroy, who's doing like Andor, is like, I fucking hate Star Wars. He says that in every interview. And we love him for it.
Yeah, I was trying to ruin it. I was trying to ruin it with politics. Because Star Wars has never had politics in it. So I decided I'd inject some politics in it and they'd fire me and ruin Star Wars.
Yeah, man.
But I accidentally made the best joke.
Ah, God damn it.
Anyway, what were we talking about? Madam Web.
Yeah.
We could do a whole episode on Madam Web, the trailer, I think. We're going to.
I mean, yeah, the movie we probably will.
Probably won't.
Don't think?
No, I don't think.
What are you doing on Valentine's Day 2024 when this comes out?
I'm delivering big boxes of heart-shaped chocolates to people. And then I'm going to have to deal with the police arriving and so forth. Well, that's a very romantic date for a Spider-Man movie.
Absolutely it is, yeah.
What were we talking about?
It feels flat. Like, all the dialogue feels really flat.
It's so weird, yeah.
And it's like, there's the, it's a trailer. The chemistry is like off and weird and stilted. And it's.
Oh, that's what we were going to say. So it's probably set in the 90s because my guess would be she's going to receive a premonition that Ben Parker is going to.
Peter Parker at some point.
Well, yeah, he's going to get Peter Parker, or they have to, you know, he has to live to raise Peter Parker to become Spider-Man. So they have to save him and he's going to get Final Destination.
Oh, my God.
But she's going to use her next knowing powers to figure out how to stop that.
Okay, gotcha.
Because the villain is a guy called Ezekiel Sims.
Yes.
As I understand. And he was part of that totem storyline in the Spider-Man. So,
which is that?
So pre Spider-Verse with all the, you know, the Spider-Man vampires and et cetera.
Sure.
The premise was...
Morlun.
Yeah, Morlun.
Yeah.
Morlun will be in the end credits.
Oh, my God.
And it will have to be something to do with Spider-Man, if I had to guess.
You thought you had the next knowing powers.
Well, I've got them even bigger. And I'm a vampire, I think.
Yeah, man.
You'd agree, won't you, Vulture, who never lifts his mask to show that it's Michael Keaton? Yeah. What about you, Morbius? I'm Morbius. I'm a different type of vampire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's a vampire too. Sorry,
but when we're hanging out, even though you're clearly a villain and I'm Morbius and I'm a hero in this universe.
Because we're building towards the worst Sinister Six combination of people.
Yeah, we got Morlun. Yeah, we got him.
We've got evil Spider-Man and Jared Leto's
Morbius. And another evil Spider-Man. We got Venom. And got Toxin or something, I don't know. We got Toxin. The Toxin's there. That has something to do with Spider-Man, I imagine.
No doubt.
Yeah. Anyway, so Ezekiel, so there was the premise a few years ago, probably 15 years ago, they tried to retcon Spider-Man's origin to change his powers slightly.
Okay.
So the idea was that it wasn't the radioactive spider that altered Peter Parker's DNA that gave him spider powers. It was that there was like a supernatural totems in the form of animals, and they can transfer their powers to you via magic.
Can I just say something?
Go on.
I fucking hate this.
Pretty good, right? And so the idea was that there was a spider that wanted to give its powers to Peter Parker.
Okay.
And it had to do it because
it couldn't speak English.
Couldn't speak English, and also was dying because of the radiation, but that was unrelated.
Okay.
So then it bites Peter Parker and it gives him the spider powers.
Yep.
But then I guess because the spider powers didn't entirely translate, which is why he can't shoot his own webs. He has to build the web shooters. But then
the time when he became organic web shooter Spider-Man?
So he got cocooned, and when then he came out, he held organic web shooters. Yeah. And I think he's back to normal now.
He is, yeah.
Normal-ish.
He sealed them up. He hot glued gum them shut.
That's exactly right. He used Sully's No More Gaps.
Gross.
Corked up all his holes.
So gross.
Anyway, so this is one of those totem guys, and he's got Spider-Man powers because of magic, and maybe he ate some spiders. I don't know.
He was working in the jungle with his mother, ran into a spider.
I'm not even entirely sure he's a bad guy in the comic books because I didn't read any of this because it's bad.
Yeah, sure. Well, it could be really good. You can't pass that judgment. No, should read true. It all and then tell me whether it's bad because I'm not going to read it.
Yeah,
because I think it's bad. Just to clarify.
Anyway, he's that guy because he's available, I guess.
Sure. Well, yeah, isn't he just? But again, anything can be good.
Yeah, but again, as an idea, I thought it was quite – I thought they were like, oh, this is a sort of Final Destination horror. They're going to – you know, it's them attempting to survive this supernaturally strong Spider-Man-type character. That's a bit of fun.
Yep.
But I think it's going to degenerate into, well, where they all get spider powers at the end.
Yeah.
And they beat him up.
I don't think they're going to do the suits because one of them's got like the metal arms and that. And where are you even getting those at this point, you know? Who are they going to?
Totems. No, it's magic. Oh. It's magic. Sorry.
Is it?
Sorry, I don't make the rules. It's magic.
I hate. Yep. All right. Cool. Look, I tell you, I give Spum this.
Yes?
You're keeping me on my toes.
Okay.
I never know what you're going to do.
Right?
You know?
I never thought this was real, but it's real, man. So it's Sydney Sweeney, Celeste O'Connor, and Isabella Merced as Julia Carpenter, Maddie Franklin, and Anya Corazon.
Cool.
So those are the – which you think is Spider-Woman, different Spider-Woman and Silk, I think.
Okay, right, yeah.
I don't know. I think it's going to be magic powers and magic costumes.
Well, some spider people are magic, you know.
That's what I'm saying, man.
That's what we know.
Yeah.
God. That's what we know. Anyway, should we move it along?
Yes. Unless you have anything more to say about...
God, it feels like the end of the episode. You know?
So should we go to bed and come back tomorrow?
No, we
both have a lie down.
We've got to talk about this.
Okay.
So Kang Dynasty, which is the first of the next two Avengers movies, might be being retooled to move away from Jonathan Majors as Kang.
Oh, I have a hot scoop or shot of poop.
We can do that too.
Yeah.
So when do you want to work that in, or do you want to go through this and then you mention
it? No, you do this.
Okay.
You do this.
So if you watch the end of Loki, Mason, I don't know whether you have yet, there's very much the end. They're like, oh, we got all the Kangs and we're going to get all the Kangs. Don't even worry. We're going to keep getting all the Kangs. But according to Deadline, Destin Daniel Cretton, who he's departed the Avengers Kang Dynasty, and he was set to direct. So instead of that, he's going to be working on Shang-Chi 2 and the Wonder Man series, which also might be retooled or cancelled, I don't know. Mm. And then according to The Ringer and Joanna Robinson specifically, who wrote the book recently on the MCU and The Rise and et cetera, and she's had a lot of scoops in relation to this, she said, I heard from somebody recently, the screenwriter Jeff Loveness, who wrote Quantumania, who was supposed to write the Kang Dynasty. Anyways, it's confirmed. I had it confirmed to me he's no longer working for Marvel. I asked the person why, and they said the reason why is because he was all wrapped up with the Kang storyline, and they are likely going to be moving away from that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, James, here is our sometimes repeated segment, hot scoop or shot of poop.
Love it. Let's
go. In which a listener provides us with a tip, some behind the scenes scuttlebutt, some absolute scandalous material, and we have to, and it might be a hot scoop, but then it might be a shot of poop because anybody can email in, obviously, weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
Correct.
Look, there's some ground rules here.
Yep.
There's a hot scoop, obviously. But if it turns out to not be true, you have to do a shot of poop.
Yeah.
I don't make the rules.
But it's never been not true, luckily, so
that's
far.
true. Yeah,
we've
thus
always
far.
Been right.
Yeah, yeah. So the shot of poop keeps getting bigger.
Let's see what this random person has to
Hang
say.
Hang on, there's one more rule, as you well know, James. If this is reported, in the real media,
oh, that's right,
as opposed to the fake media, which is us,
they
have to say that it's from the podcast, The Weekly Planet, and their segment, Hot Scoop or Shot of Poop.
That's right.
And if you don't, you're a dog. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. You can still do it.
People will harass you as well.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Which has nothing to do with us.
Now, I won't give this person's name.
Okay.
But they emailed in and they said Kang Tip, and they provided their IMDb page.
Okay. Well, I mean, anybody can do
that. That's what I'm
Mason.
Saying. That's what I'm saying, you know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But they're like, this is to prove I'm legit.
Mm-hmm.
Dear James and Meso, long-time listener, thank you for helping get me through COVID and the more recent world crisis, the WGAS SAG strike.
You're welcome. We were administering those shots and picketing every day.
That's exactly right. Yeah. While working on the movie Devotion, which you recall is the Glenn Powell, Jonathan Majors fighter pilot movie.
Yeah.
While working on the movie Devotion, I was friends with one of Jonathan Majors' people during our filming JM Close the Kang deal. I remember asking said friend about it, and they shared some details, X number of movies, X number of dollars. And more interestingly, due to the nature of the character and potential multiple versions, JM had a contract clause stating that only he could play any and all versions of Kang.
Oh, that's interesting.
This likely explains why the rumors are dumping Kang for Doom instead of recasting.
Yeah.
Because as we know, Kang is a multiverse guy, and he could be anything.
Yeah.
Like, he could be anyone. You could just recast immediately.
He could be a lizard.
Yeah. They could just go, oh, time travel shenanigans, he looks like this now.
Yeah.
So.
That's very interesting. That's if true.
If true.
Yeah.
Mm. If true. Okay. Anyway, that's our hot scoop or shot of poop.
But I guess there'd also be a clause of, like,
there would be a,
if it was proven that, like, it was something like that, he did something that came out, then that would issue make this all void.
There would be,
but
a,
that would, it's going to be a while to get to that point, though, right?
It'd be a morals clause, I guess, like a don't bring the.
But that's pretty. Like, why fight? Why fight that? You know, when you could just move away.
That's
just,
true. Yeah, just it'd be a, like a don't bring the company into disrepute kind of situation. Again, I mean, maybe maybe lawyers are working on both. Maybe one side is like one way and the other side is like a different way.
Yeah, yeah.
Some would suggest that I lost my train of thought in the middle of that sentence.
No, I didn't think so.
Yeah, seamless, right?
It was absolutely beautiful and seamless.
If I were a Hollywood screenwriter, they'd call me Jeff Seamless.
Would they?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. You can just use your real name or whatever.
No, I'd be Jeff Seamless.
Now, it's interesting. I came across this list because they're obviously looking for a new actor to take on a new villain, and whether it be like a Doctor Doom or Mephisto or whatever.
Yep.
A chair with a sword. Doesn't matter.
A chair with a sword?
Yes.
Just the sword is on the chair?
Yeah, yeah.
Leaning against it?
Absolutely.
Great.
And they want to avoid controversy, right? So this list, this is what it includes. And I didn't make this up. This is a real list. These are the names that they've got that they think they should bring in.
Starting to think you've made
this list
up.
They've got Sean Penn as one of them.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
A guy with famously no legal troubles, nothing shady in his past.
Correct.
Sean
That's right.
Penn, sure.
Jared Leto. Well, he's already Morbius, so you could probably just work that in. And he's normal.
Mm.
And no one's ever said anything about that guy.
That's true, yeah.
It says here the bones and ghost of Michael Jackson.
Oh, I see what you're doing here.
So, no, again, this is a list.
Okay.
The next one is the doctor that killed Michael Jackson.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the last one just says Dr. Phil. So, look, none of these are my top choices.
I understand, sure.
And I think a lot of these aren't even controversy-free.
Yeah.
Would you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, but whatever.
Yeah.
It's not really up to me.
Huh. Where'd you get that list?
Somebody, it was on Twitter.
On Twitter.
It's on X.
Wow. So if I just searched on Twitter for all those names.
Yeah, I mean, it's not working very well as a platform.
No, that's actually true. That's actually true.
Anyways, here's some casting that we know for sure, though, probably. Multiple trades have reported this. It's probably, I would even say definitely a lock. But Pedro Pascal is Reed Richards.
Yeah, okay. Nah. Now, that has not been confirmed. I only know this because the community note.
I would say it's been confirmed everything short of Marvel saying it.
Okay.
I think they're waiting to cast everybody, and then they will make the announcement.
Yeah, right, okay, yeah.
So apparently, according to the In Snyder.
I think they should reveal the cast over 5 days.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
okay.
That's right.
Cool, yeah. Because Doctor Doom is the last one.
No. They do.
They leave a day.
They do three. And then they do somebody's first name and then their last name the day after.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So apparently they wanted Jake Gyllenhaal, but he was too much money. There was a similar situation a while back with Adam Driver.
Mm-hmm.
I like this casting of Pedro Pascal. Yeah. I think my only concern would be like he's like nearly 50 and he's got there's probably going to be 9 to 12 years of movies.
Well, I'm also thinking.
And does he want to do that?
This is, I mean, a lot of people have questioned why is it taking so long to reveal this cast?
Yeah.
you know.
Because they haven't locked it.
Well, because they haven't locked it. And the reason they haven't locked it is because at this point, nobody wants to lock themselves into 10 years of movies in a, what might be a sinking ship.
Ugh.
Like maybe this movie turns it all around. Maybe the spum, I hope it does.
Maybe the spum takes off.
Maybe spum takes off.
And everyone flees to the spum.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Give me more of that spum, they'll say.
As much as I can. Handle, which is all of it.
That's right.
So
but yeah, so but yeah, like nobody wants to be.
Yeah,
I'm sure there are people out, and also, you know, established actors.
Yeah,
if you haven't been cast in a Marvel movie now, it might be because their representatives are like, nah, don't do it.
Yeah,
don't do it, man.
Let's just see.
Yeah,
let's just see what happens.
I might, you know, and a lot of them might be like, you know, like a Brie Larson, an Academy Award winner.
Yeah,
where they're like. You want to deal with this? You want to deal with this for 10 years?
Yes.
Great.
Do you? I don't. I wouldn't want to do it.
No.
Absolutely not. No. Yeah, yeah.
Although you'd get millions of dollars, wouldn't you?
That's true. That's a good part of it. Yeah. That's probably one
not
of the
initially.
Upsides. No. Well, I reckon he would.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's in Star Wars. He's in the last. Well, he's sort of in Star Wars.
Yeah.
He's not really in Star Wars anymore.
Uh-huh.
But he's doing a million things.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
But I think I would never have picked him. Like, this is the name that I would not have, like, even considered. But his range is incredible. Mm. Like, I think this is fine.
Yeah.
This will probably hopefully work out. The Insnider have also said that Javier Bardem is being eyed for Galactus. What I love about that is he has a big face. You've seen his emotive face?
Mm.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I like that a lot as well, if that
and
is true.
I think the other rumors that have been flying around, also...
Vanessa Kirby, Sue Storm.
Vanessa Kirby, Sue Storm, the guy from...
The Bear...
Eben Mossbacher is the Thing, and then the guy from Stranger Things.
Yes,
Eddie.
Who has a real name
also. Nearly had it, but then I've forgotten it. I mean, they've fan cast before.
Joseph Quinn.
There we go. Rosario Dawson, you know, is Ahsoka because there was a Boss Logic edit where she looks like...
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff happened in the meantime, but...
Yeah, they cast her.
They cast her,
No, absolutely. So that's fun, isn't it?
Hmm.
Yeah. So there you go. Fantastic Four. That'll... I imagine by the end of the year, we'll probably, if not sooner, we'll know that full cast.
Yes. Yeah.
Or not.
Yeah. I think they should do one a month for six
Five
months.
Five months. Six months? Okay, six months, cool, yeah. Great. Terrific.
Or they could just not tell us.
Sure.
I'm happy with that. Yeah. Don't tell us and then we'll give us a trailer. We'll figure it out when the movie starts.
Absolutely.
When the characters are introduced.
But then you'll spend the whole movie going, what's his name? He's in Stranger Things.
Yeah.
What's his name?
And then... In the final battle where they're fighting Javier Bardem's giant face, I'll be like, Joseph Quinn! I'll stand up and, Joseph Quinn! I knew it! None of you knew it.
No, they didn't know. So by deadline, Maria Gabriella DeFaria has been cast to play the DC villain, the Engineer, also known as Angela Spicer?
Speaker.
Okay. the character is a member of the superhero team, The Authority.
That's correct, yeah.
I don't know anything about this character. Go.
She's got nanotech blood.
That's it?
So she's all silver. So she's,
She's replaced
all
blood
with nanotech, and so she can have she has like a silver like sheath look, and she can like morph out big guns and stuff. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
and do you reckon she'd be the lead villain, or do you reckon the Authority, would there be a bunch of villains within the Authority?
Well, here's the thing. So, well, what's interesting, does it say specifically she's been cast as a villain?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, well, it might be, I think what they're doing is they're using elements of the Authority, which was a Wildstorm Image series,
yes,
about like a team of incredibly powerful superheroes who decide to take an active role in making the world better in the Image universe.
Yes.
And then DC had the Elite, which were like a parody of them, who decided Superman wasn't cool and super enough.
Wasn't killing enough.
Yeah. And so I think they're probably combining aspects of that, like the Elite start out as villains and then some of them reform.
Right, okay.
So I think that's maybe what they're doing with that.
Yeah, okay.
Also, this something that was pointed out to me, and again, it's obvious in hindsight, is that all the characters thus far that have been cast in this, like all the supporting superheroes, are legacy characters, and it's Superman Legacy. So they're all dealing with their own legacy. So it's...
Are they the second version of something?
Some of them are. So the Engineer, she's the second version.
Right.
And
was the first version like just a guy in a trench coat?
It was pretty much just a guy in a trench coat.
Yeah, that's often these things go.
Well, he also had the nanotech powers. Anyway, then we've got the Green Lantern is Guy Gardner.
Yep. Who's is he second?
No, he's not second, but he's like, you know, subsequent.
Yeah.
And then we got Mr. Terrific, who's the second Mr. Terrific. Yep. And I think it would be whoever else is. And it's Hawk Woman.
Yeah.
And I think she's.
Second Hawk
she
Woman.
She might be the second Hawk Woman. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So.
Was there a Hawk Woman in Black Adam? Or was there only a Hawkman?
It was only a Hawkman.
Mm. Good movie. Mm. Good movie?
Yeah.
Good movie.
Yeah, great, great movie. Yeah, great movie. Yeah, great movie.
In hindsight, did a lot better. Like, we rinsed it at the time, but it's doing a lot better than a bunch of movies this year. I tell you that much, Mason.
I didn't hate it. I thought
I was
fun.
Bloody tell you that much.
It was fun. Do you think that this movie is being overwhelmed by supporting characters that aren't Superman?
Because if it was a normal movie, mm-hmm. there's just people in it.
Nice.
You know, there's a lot of people in a movie. It's fine. Yeah, I don't think they're all going to get 40 minutes of screen time.
No, that's
true,
yeah. And also, yeah, I think, again, if I'm critical of the Christopher Reeve movies, and I am.
What's that?
That's right. It's a lot of Superman fighting regular guys.
Sure.
And, it's nice to see him battle people of equal power.
And not only that, like variations in powers, which I quite like as well.
Yeah.
All right. Coyote versus Acme Mason.
Oh, yes.
Just a few things to start off with. Phil Lord, who you might know is... Phil Lord, Chris Miller.
Not personally.
No, you don't know him? Spider-Verse, other things, worked on whatever Lego movies. He said, Cody versus Acme is wonderful. D. Green Machine nails it. Hilarious, smart, existential and moving and makes his all-time character more relevant than ever. So there's a bunch of people coming out saying, I've seen this and I love it. It might even be the best Warner Brothers movie. The U.S. Congress have called for an investigation into these kind of shenanigans.
Well, one guy did.
One guy did, yeah.
Probably for clout.
Probably for cool clout. But Puck News came out and said, backlash! Warner Brothers have now opted to allow the filmmakers behind Cody vs. Acme to search for another distributor. Cody vs. Acme screenings are now being set up for streaming services such as Amazon Prime Video, Apple, and Netflix.
Mm.
So because of the public outcry about this, and so they are actually going to potentially let people see this movie that they already made, that they were then going to shelve to save $30 million, but also ultimately lose a bunch of money on it.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so the... You know, there was a great public backlash, but I think probably the as I understand it, the main reason for this backtracking is because a lot of people with some clout who are going to make movies with Warner Brothers or make stuff, maybe animation or TV or whatever, contacted Warner Brothers and were like, "We're reconsidering, being a part of, you know, working with you."
If you're just going to do this,
If you're just going to do this, so
absolutely,
you know.
Well, speaking of Warner Brothers, this is great news as well. The New York Times did a profile on David Zaslav.
I love that
CEO
guy.
Of Warner Brothers. Yeah, he's a good and he's normal.
Normal. He's normal.
You look
if I was going to pick a word to describe him, it would be normal.
He said, in terms of the strikes that happened, he said they were right about almost everything. So what if we overpay? I've never regretted overpaying for great talent or a great asset. This fucking guy, man.
You're overpaid, David Zaslav. You're being paid to ruin everything.
You dragged this out for months.
It is.
Like,
it is.
Are you kidding me?
It is astounding that the board has not. He must be like such a smooth talker.
Or they're all board men. Or they're all incredibly stupid.
They're all stupid. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
What are we doing? But just the nerve to be like, yeah, it's good actually. What happened?
Mm.
Fuck you. All right, let's move it along just quickly, Mason.
What do you mean? Also, this thing about overpay. Oh, I've never. You've underpaid everybody. You have nothing. If you don't have the writers and the performers and the directors, you have nothing.
That's right, yeah. Anyways, before we talk about 3-hour Hunger Games prequel, The Marvels is having its a bad second week box office run. Mm. We know last week it broke records in terms of being one of the lowest opening for an MCU movie.
Yeah.
Apparently it's going to be lucky to make $10 million in its second weekend. It earned $2.8 million on Friday, which is down a staggering 87% from its opening day last week, which also wasn't great then. This is the biggest second week drop for an MCU film.
What's the other
ever.
One? Oh, that's the biggest. What's the next lowest, I wonder?
Probably Ant-Man, maybe.
Ant-Man.
I don't know. But, we did talk about maybe this is a thing that will, you know, they leave it in cinemas and it, you know, gets a bit of momentum. But, no, this is... dead.
Yeah.
This is going to be on streaming by tomorrow.
Yuck.
There you go. Anyway, it's fine. I thought it was all right.
But, it was fun. It's fun.
It is what it is. Yeah. And, you know, people are doing a little song and dance. So
I think there should have been more song and dance.
Oh, yeah, that's true. In the movie itself. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right. Should we move it along?
Let's move it along. 3-hour Hunger Games prequel.
Woo!
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves
without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of shit, mother f***. Or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. And you know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify, and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect. Did somebody say 3-hour Hunger Games prequel?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, I did earlier, moments ago.
Yeah,
but there was a little break.
Yeah, we took a break.
You were concerned that we would perhaps not record anything.
But we do have the backup recorder.
Recordo Montalban.
So,
great, yes.
It's fine.
Here's a couple of, just before we get started, here's a couple of pieces of news that I wanted to squeeze in, but you were not interested in season.
I didn't say that.
The trailer for season 2 of Reacher. And I only,
I'm not sure.
But the only reason I mentioned this was like a week ago, but the only reason I was interested in talking about it is because someone on Twitter, I think it was Vice Victus on Twitter, called him the Vanilla Gorilla. I'm like, that's good stuff. That is very good stuff. And he absolutely is.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. And the other thing, I don't know if you saw this, there's a documentary came out this week, or at least some clips of it. RoboDoc, which is the creation of the
robot. Oh, is this the Peter Weller
Yes.
Oreos?
Yeah. So yes. There's an anecdote from, I think, one of the armory guys or one of the stunt coordinators on the original RoboCop.
Yep.
And this
should we just get Collings to play it? Can we just play the clip?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I'll describe it in the interim.
Maybe we'll play it at the end of the show.
So the stunt guy is handing Peter Weller his big RoboCop gun so he can do a particular scene, and he's also carrying he's got a big handful of Oreos.
Yeah,
and so and Peter Weller looks at this guy and he says, "Robo wants an Oreo," and the guy says, "Listen, it's just you and me up here. We're doing this scene. I'm the only one here. Peter wants an Oreo." You can have one, but you don't have to do the thing where you're in character. And then he marches off to like a vantage point over the scene, and he starts yelling "Robo wants an Oreo." And what I love about that is that he would have done it. You know, there's in RoboCop 2 where there's a point where he's trying to find out where the drugs are from, and he's like, "Where is it made?"
Yeah.
Like, it'd be that cadence, and it'd be like, "Robo wants an Oreo."
And then it escalates. Yeah. Then Peter Weller interjects at the very end.
Mm.
Remember that? Which is, anyway, we'll play it at the end. Yeah, Collins will put it. It's very good. Mm. Yeah.
Anyway, 3 hour Hunger Games prequel.
Here we go, Mason. On a budget of $130 million, though, according to Variety, it's only $100 million.
Oh, where that $30 million disappears.
Great question.
Probably Rachel Zegler's pockets.
No doubt. The box office return on this is a $45 million US opening, which is short of the $50 million that was projected. This is well under the others. They're about They open about $100 million plus each.
Well, it's been a bloody long time between drinks, I tell you what.
It's also, it's okay, like in terms of numbers, but it'll have to grow and whatever over the coming weeks to be considered a massive smashing success.
Oh.
What is incredible about this movie is, first of all, what do you think the story was?
Oh, come on, mate.
Yeah.
All right, so it's a prequel to the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
But it's still the Hunger Games. They're doing some Hunger Games.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, it's just early days for the Hunger Games. They're working out the format.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Why
aren't people watching the Hunger Games? I don't know, maybe because you put an 8-year-old girl with Down syndrome in a fighting arena.
Exactly, and then somebody's going to dome her with a brick or whatever.
Like, what's happening here?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's bad. It's unpleasant.
Yeah.
But then who might reinvigorate the Hunger Games?
Who's going to do it?
But a young whiz kid, a beautiful, handsome Mr. Snow.
Blonde hair.
Donald Sutherland's character, yep. Except it's not Donald Sutherland. It's a younger man.
His name's Tom Blythe.
Portraying him in the past.
That's right, yeah.
Which is our future.
Whoa.
If indeed this is set on Earth.
Whoa.
Which I'm not convinced it is.
Who cares?
It's not that, because they wear skirts with pants.
That's true.
All together.
They do that, don't they?
And that is very unusual.
In a lot of ways, they're very progressive. That's in other ways, they do Hunger Games.
Mm, that's true,
There's different things happening.
Yeah.
So what is wild to me is that this is 10 minutes longer than the movie Napoleon, apparently.
Okay, right.
Which presumably, and I haven't seen it yet, spans the length of Napoleon's life.
Are you sure?
Where this spans maybe a month and a half.
Oh, look at this ugly little baby. Put a weird hat on him. Give him a very wide hat. He's so skinny and sickly, we're going to... Mother, put a big wide hat on him.
Why?
Look, he's going out to conquer something. Put a big wide hat on him so he can't get through the door.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's his look now.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the thing that gives him power.
Oh, it's the future now, and he's died. He's conquered everything, but he's died. Now let's symbolically take his hat on so we can fit him in his grave.
So
Napoleon will return.
In what kind of sequel? Prequel, I guess.
I mean Napoleon.
Oh, okay, right. Gotcha.
Because he was all...
He goes to Egypt.
Goes to Egypt, yeah.
Yeah.
Dog's here. Hello, Ollie. Hello.
Look, I know the last book they split into two, but this I feel like... They shouldn't have split this.
Now, this is based on a book as well.
It is, yeah. It's based on a prequel book.
This is, okay, right.
Suzanne Collins, I think her name is, yeah. But, like, the idea that this has to be 3 hours long is outrageous, quite frankly.
Okay,
This has to stop.
This didn't feel like 3 hours to me.
Absolutely, it did. It felt like there was a movie, and then it stopped, and then there was another movie.
I'm gathering you didn't like this movie.
No, that's the thing. I liked a lot of it, but it's just, like, what are we... It's way too fucking long. What are we doing this for?
I didn't feel like it was 3 hours
at
all.
It's so long, Mason.
I didn't love it.
No.
I'll be clear about that. I felt like there was a lot of stuff that worked in this.
I agree.
I thought there was a lot of interesting
ideas.
Except
for the drones. The drones didn't work. They didn't work.
They literally did not work. But I feel like maybe the whole thing didn't gel for me. And I'm wondering if it's because the focus of this movie is about the young Coriolanus Snow, who grows up to be the worst person in the Hunger Games universe, probably. You know?
And the interesting thing about that is, like, there you do see, first of all, you find out his sister is the Tiger Woman from the other Hunger
Games. Oh, is that what that
Tigress,
is?
And then she becomes a Tiger Woman. Okay. But, like, so they focus a lot on his character and why he's the way he is, and there's a moment where he's like, I loved killing that guy just then.
Mm.
And that's a little bit of an insight into the kind of man that he will turn into.
Yeah,
I love poisoning people, maybe. Mm,
that's
a little bit of insight into the man that he wants to be.
Don't like the sound of the name Katniss.
Mm. Mm-hmm. But then there's Rachel Zegler's character who's from the same district as Katniss, and she's come to do the Hunger Games or whatever. And at the start, it's like, oh, there's some real, like, fight in this, and she's, like, a really interesting, there's a really, like, crazy kind of dynamic, and is she manipulating the people around her? Is she really, like, genuine about this?
Is she manipulating him? Are they truly falling in love, or is she trying to trick him so she can, you know?
And I feel like they don't really do enough with that at all. I feel like I would have liked to know, like, what is this person actually like?
Yeah.
And I guess that's to more put you in his kind of mindset where he's kind of like assuming things and guessing things like about
her. Yeah, because he's the focus of the movie. He's in almost every scene, whereas Zegler disappears for...
She comes and goes.
For hours at a time.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. For days.
Days at a time.
For what it felt like.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's not to say I disliked his like characterization, because the idea that because of the result of the war, he's like a very poor person from a previously well-to-do family who's laughing as like a rich kid, and he has to like,
yeah,
you know, with the way he's, you know, wears certain clothes and like pretend that his driver's sick and whatever, all those different things to keep up this pretense. Mm. I thought all of that was kind of really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think the premise of it is interesting, and or like the idea of like the fall of this man to become like this awful person, like what the circumstances turn him into, kind of thing.
Mm.
But I don't know. It just I don't know if I got enough of an insight into his character as he was.
Yeah, okay.
To feel like him transforming into a really bad guy was like a believable arc kind of thing.
Yeah, okay.
It just felt like not a spoiler, but it just felt like, you know, he had a couple of bad days and he became the Joker.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, he's like, well, I'm just normal, and I just want to survive day to day.
I love roses and I love my family.
Oh, a couple of bad things happened. Well, now I'm President Snow.
Should I use this bird, which is also a tape recorder? I don't know. I'm conflicted about it.
Mm.
We'll talk about it in spoilers, Mason.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like there was some ambiguity to the characters in this, which I don't know if too ambiguous is the right word, but I just would have preferred some more insight, especially considering that it's a 3-hour Hunger Games prequel.
Sure,
I think there's some room there.
Oh, a bit of room?
Maybe.
But that would have made it even longer.
Yeah, that's
true. Unless they just wore T-shirts that said there.
No, just cut out the Hunger Games stuff, because, boy, do you like a boring Hunger Games in a concrete room? That's what they're doing this time around.
Yeah, it's what is interesting, I think, is that, again, because it's early.
At least everybody in the universe agrees it's boring.
Yeah. it's early days of the Hunger Games, so it's just they put him in a small stadium with some weapons and they just have at it.
Yeah, for like 10 minutes.
There's very little room to hide or you know, they're not employing guerrilla warfare tactics in a forest or anything like that. It's just you get in a room. So
a Colosseum.
How many of these have ended in 10 minutes?
Because
they've all just hacked at each other with swords, and then they've all died of blood loss.
All of them. And people aren't watching that, apparently.
Yeah.
They think it's rude.
And it needs – and so Viola Davis's character, who's the
master.
She's one of the scientists behind all this, who can – she can create all these genetically engineered creatures and these special, like, assassin snakes and all this sort of stuff. She doesn't have the foresight to be like – people – like, she's sort of genuinely stunned.
Yeah.
Because Snow's character is one of these students from an elite school who are brought in to mentor
it's the first year of mentors.
It's first year of mentoring. They're going to mentor these tributes. But also she wants to talk to them. Viola Davis's character wants to talk to them about, you know, what they think about this whole thing.
Yeah.
And some of them are like, this is bad.
Yeah.
Actually. But Snow is like, what if people saw what these people were like, and it's blown her mind. It's
brilliant.
This is like, brilliant.
How
action.
Did you do that?
How did you come up with this?
I built this big tank of snakes. I might be able to actually use that now.
Yeah, I was,
because they won't all be dead in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I was considering just. It's weird that people didn't want to watch me just bring in 12 random people into a room and then drop a bucket of snakes on them. You know, because they'd stick around until they were all killed by the snakes, and then they'd switch off.
Absolutely, Oh my goodness,
it's not a sustained business model.
No,
it's 10 minutes of people being killed by snakes, and then everybody's like, "What else should we do for the day?"
And the only reason the arena is like slightly bigger than normal is because there's an attack on it, so it's like crumbled. You can kind of get underground and whatever.
Yeah, right,
so that's the only reason it goes a bit longer, like this time around. But it's just so bizarre and bland and like. again, it's a concrete room with some tridents in it and whatever.
Mm-hmm, sure.
It's a broken bow and arrow, which means something probably. But you can.
Katniss.
The Katniss, that's right. You can. They've just. They've,
this ain't your grandpappy's Hunger Games, except it is. It absolutely is, yeah. This is your grandpappy's Hunger Games.
That's right.
There's no bow and arrows.
Liked it. Mm. So you can also, like, call in, you know, get water and whatever. So that's the early days of where you can bring in. Like, you could get, if you're thirsty, you can get some water and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but they rocket in at such speed.
Yes, they're barely controlled drones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Which you can later be weaponized because it's clearly just not working. How do you feel about the new host of the Hunger Games? The first host of the Hunger Games.
Oh.
Lucky Flickerman.
Yeah. Loved him.
There's some wry little
big year for Big year for Jason Schwartzman,
what
too.
What was the other one he did?
Spider-Verse.
What?
Asteroid City.
Oh, yeah, he's in Spider-Verse. He's the spot, yeah.
And another thing, I'm pretty sure.
This three-hour Hunger Games.
No, it's prequel. This four. He's in four things this year, I'm pretty sure.
Jason Schwartzman. He was in the Darjeeling Limited, Mason.
No, that was
from 2007.
That was a long time ago.
Are you thinking of that?
No.
Fantastic Mr. Fox?
No.
All right. No. Asteroid City, Spider-Verse, Quiz Lady. Hunger Games prequel. Three-hour Hunger Games.
Oh, and
Games
he's prequel. in Quiz Lady, but he's also in bloody
TV
Scott
show?
Pilgrim.
Oh, new
his
TV
voice
show.
Is, yeah, the new, he's, you know, he's back in. So he's done five things this year.
He's also in Digman, I Think You Should Leave, Tim Robinson, 10-year-old Tom. Yeah,
well, this is an even bigger year for Jason Schwartzman than
how
I
does he do
it?
What's his secret?
Some of these are just voice roles.
Yeah, also he's a nepotism baby. I got him, Mason.
Is he?
Yeah, I think he's related to someone.
Huh.
Is he a Coppola?
Jason Bateman?
Is he a Francis Ford Coppola's like nephew or something?
Oh, he might
he's
be.
One of those guys?
Yeah. Okay. Well, then I take back everything nice I've ever said about him.
Me too.
Yeah.
All right. But you enjoyed him. Did you enjoy Peter Dinklage?
Yes.
As very open drug addict.
Sure.
Just quickly drinking drugs in front of everybody before he makes a speech.
I'm just going to quickly.
Drink your drugs before you come out.
I'm just going to quickly drink my obvious vulnerability here. I'm just going to quickly drink that. And I hope nobody notices that for later. Puts anything in my little drinks.
Mm, he's good
yum,
though,
yum,
isn't
yum,
he?
Yum, 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 yum.
Peter Dinklage.
Can you drink morphine? Guess you
this
can.
This one you can.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, and that's cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I think there is some, like you said, it does happen quick, but there is some interesting ideas about like him, this guy being heartbroken and turning the way he does. I think it's not all as.
Well, I would say get
heavy,
over it.
Yeah, but it's not as heavy-handed as.
Plenty of other chicks in the sea, am I right?
Because, you know, like.
Also, it is a profoundly bad idea to let these guys who are like the enemy. Just have them, just let them go to the districts and hang out.
Yeah.
Get some shore leave and just go to the districts and drink in the bars and, you know, become friends with the rabble and fall in love and all that sort of stuff. That's going to end in tears for everybody.
Absolutely.
Ridiculous
as
a premise.
Those people don't know. So it starts with, like, you get selected for the Hunger Games and then the middle hour is the Hunger Games and then the third hour is, it moves out towards the district. So that's the kind of the narrative flow of it and whatever.
Yeah.
That's where all the love takes place over all of the different
right.
the different hours of this
that's
movie.
Right.
And there's a bird that's a tape recorder.
And it can
remember what you said.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that comes up multiple times.
Yeah, that's right. A real Ricardo Montalban situation.
Very good.
I thought we were in love, but you Ricardo Montalban me. You know?
Should we do some spoilers?
Hang on, let me think. You know what? I thought Rachel Zegler was really good.
I think she's great, yeah.
I liked there's a lot of music in this. Well, you
yes.
know what I liked? The production-wise, everything seems to be
looking
real.
Looking good.
Lot of the sets, a lot of the sets are real, all the major sets, like all the...
Yeah, because again, it's like a stone room that they're in.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you can
but like,
that.
You know, the lot of the district sets are real. And,
a lot of the grey fatigues are real.
Yeah, they're very real.
Very real.
Very real.
Real singular.
Yeah, I think Rachel Zegler was really good, and like I liked all her singing.
I
liked all the songs. I thought that was a nice touch because, you know, in the original ones, Katniss is a hunter, and that's her skill set, whereas this is...
Rachel Zegler is a dodger.
Lucy Gray is
her character. She's always dodging stuff. They're
she's an artful
hit
dodger.
Her with an axe and she's dodging.
Yeah. Mm. I thought those songs were good. Maybe I'll check out the soundtrack.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I think
apparently she did all her singing on set. Did you say that?
I did say that.
Said
no,
on
I,
set.
I didn't say that, but I saw that.
No, okay.
And now I'm saying that.
No, I said it first.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
I'll say it later better.
Okay. I also thought Young Snow was good.
Tom Blythe.
I thought he was really good as well. Yeah.
What I was going to say is, though, I wonder if they felt like they had to give both of those main characters more equal screen time, whereas maybe it would have made sense if Zegler's character was like – more off in the distance.
Okay, sure.
And we all, as an audience member, we always wondered what her agenda was.
Right. Okay.
But because we see her so much in the movie, it does kind of feel like all her cards are on the table, really. Like, I never really thought of her like, oh, she's manipulating him. Yeah. Maybe she's not genuine, that sort of thing. I always felt like I knew what her emotional state was, her mental state was. And she's like, she's initially, not trusting of this guy. And then she, realizes she's got to work together. And then she, has feelings for the guy and all that sort of stuff. But I think because this is a Hunger Games movie, they wanted to have a female protagonist.
Yeah. A Katniss-esque kind of
character. Whereas I think if you just kept the point of view to this Snow, that would be more compelling if you always wondered if he was in control or if she was manipulating him from the back.
From the Hunger Games.
From the Hunger Games, prequel, exactly. From hours. The Hunger Games prequel, 3 hours. That's right.
It's also not quite 3 hours. I just want to point that out. It's like 2 hours 47, including credits.
Okay. Look, I'm going to say best movie ever. I didn't think it really gelled for me. No. I didn't feel like it was that long.
Even though it was really long.
Yeah.
It was 9 minutes longer than Napoleon movie.
Yeah, I feel like you could have you could definitely have trimmed. I don't what do you feel like?
Maybe this would have been better as a series.
Yeah.
6 episodes.
Yeah, whoever owns it put it on their streaming service.
Yeah.
What third do you think was the strongest third?
Probably the first. And the very back end.
I think I think maybe the final third. And maybe that sinks my argument that I shouldn't know what her mental state was.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I also feel like if he spent the entire movie going, oh, I've got to find a way to be away with this woman.
Yeah.
We're gonna escape and we're gonna make our way to the districts and we'll be away from all of this, not knowing anything about her.
Yeah.
And then when he went out to the district with her, she was like, hey, let's take a trip to the lake. You know, how about tie this big weight around your neck and then I'll – it's what we do in the
and
district.
And we'll be in love.
We do it in the district.
It's in love.
To show our love, we put a big weight around our neck, you know?
That's what we do in the three-hour Hunger Games
prequel. That's exactly right, yeah. But I'm going to say generally best.
Why not? Yeah. Spoilers.
Yes.
So there's a tape recorder bit where there's a friend he goes out to the district with and he records him maybe doing a mini uprising using a tape recorder bird, and then he sends it into the city where Viola Davis earlier is like, I check all the tape recorder birds.
That's right.
And then he's like, but I didn't do that on purpose. But, like...
You did.
What does he think? What's that?
That's a great...
Is he kidding himself or others?
Also, doesn't that tape also implicate him? Maybe?
Yeah, he's in it.
He's in the tape, but yeah.
He was like, I don't know.
But I guess Viola Davis is like, well, I like this kid.
Yeah, but
I don't like the other kid.
And I like this bird.
Mm. Oh, so anyway, the plot goes is that he's asked to mentor Lucy Gray, and then he helps her out in the Hunger Games. He cheats. He gives her a little container of rat poison so she can do a big poisoning on people. And then Viola Davis is going to dump a bunch of snakes.
Yes.
She's going to dump a big bucket of snakes on the surviving tributes to end the Hunger Games as quickly as possible because, again, she doesn't know how to build tension or...
It's crazy how those snakes are even alive in there, just slithering around.
But luckily this is a movie, so Snow has learned earlier that the snakes won't kill anybody if they're familiar with their scent.
Yes.
And he has a handkerchief that has Lucy Gray's sweat or scent or something on it, or boogers and so forth.
Yeah.
And so he puts it in the container of snakes before it's shipped off to be dumped on all the tributes. And then they get her scent, and so they kill everybody but her. And so she is declared the winner of the Hunger Games. But the bad guys recover the rat poison and the handkerchief, and they're like, you did a big cheating, so we're gonna
Peter Dinklage does not like it.
That's right. We're gonna bust you down to being a grunt.
Yep.
We're gonna send you out into the district. And he's like, can I be sent to District 2 where the girl I love 12. Is? And the person sorting out is like, I guess.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't know.
Do you have $50?
There should be a big note on your form that says absolutely never do that.
Yeah.
If he asks,
kick him.
Yeah. He can go anywhere except District 12.
Yeah.
But District 12, sure, absolutely. And then he goes and he finds her again and she's like, ooh.
We love.
That's right.
We love, she says.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yes.
Then he gets there's because his mate went with him. There's a little uprising happens, and he ends up betraying his mate, and he shoots some people or whatever. And then they have to get rid of the guns.
Yeah.
And then the gun, but then his mate goes to jail, and by that I mean they hang him because
yes.
the tape recorder bird.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Recordo Montalbird.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
And then and then he goes to him and Lucy are like, let's run away together. We love.
We love.
And so you go to the cabin.
As we say in District 12, we love.
Yeah. You go to the cabin, but it turns out that under the floorboards are the guns.
Ooh.
And she's like, wow, somebody must have put them there, whatever his name is, the other guy.
Yeah, the other guy.
But was that the implication that she did that and she's one of these resistance fighters?
Maybe.
Because I guess
we'll know in the sequel, again, Hunger Games prequel.
I just feel like I would have loved some more because then she leaves and that's the last that they
– Yeah.
That's she kind of loses trust in him because she realizes that he betrayed a friend.
But again, is that enough for you to become the worst guy
that's
in
what
the
I'm,
world?
Yeah. It's all kind of like – again, it's kind of ambiguous in a way that I didn't feel –
Like, is he going to meet another Rachel Zegler later?
Well, he does have family, so
maybe.
Maybe.
And then that Rachel Zegler betrays him.
But she could definitely, if they were to do a sequel for this, and I don't think they will, she could, she's alive, obviously.
For sure, yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Like, he thought he'd shoot her at some point, but I doubt
it. I thought we love, and then I thought we shoot.
Yeah.
But who knows?
No,
sad day for snow.
I just kind of walked away from this going, I just wish I knew more about what her character
well, if there was some
about.
More runtime.
If only it was longer.
If only it was longer, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know. I did like that there was a tape recorder bird.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's it work? We don't know.
You turn the switch.
Yeah, I guess. What's the range on that?
It's a great question.
Yeah. How's it connected?
To the bird?
Yeah.
It's a wire.
Oh.
It's directly connected.
Like the movie Bird on a Wire.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. I know anything else you want to say?
No, that's about it, I reckon.
Got this from Vinton, who says, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. I appreciate they didn't separate the Hunger Games. I'm presuming here Vinton means the Hunger Games 3-hour prequel into two to three movies, because it certainly felt like it was two movies, but they gave Snow's full story, and I think that's pretty compelling. Best movie ever.
So
there you go. Anything else to say? It's too long, obviously.
It's pretty
we
long.
Both agree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Very long.
Okay, that's next segment of the
next segment of the show.
What is it?
It's what we're reading.
Yep.
What are we going to read?
Yeah.
I got to think of something.
Think of it quick.
All right.
Think of it during the theme song.
I'm doing the theme. What
are we reading today? All right, I just started just before you got here because I've been away for the weekend. Boys trip, not a big deal. Just backing it up, mate, week to week.
What does that mean?
Just drinking as much as I can.
Oh, I see. Sure.
I'm in quite a lot of peril.
You think so?
Yeah. Because I have to do it again next week.
You think
week.
This might be the last days of Mr. Sunday Movies?
It's very possible, mate.
Wow, okay. Yeah. Is this like when a superstar football player gets three concussions in a row?
It's exactly
you
what
You think
it's
if
like.
You get three hangovers
They're
in
like, if you do this again next week, you will definitely die. And I have to do it next week. Mm-hmm. He's got a friend flying in from
The
UK. And you know what he's like.
I know what he's like. That's right. That's exactly right. Well, good luck to you.
Thank you. Yeah. So we might try to record a little bit earlier.
Yeah,
next week.
Might have to reshuffle the podcast. We know what he's like. We're going to have to reshuffle the podcast to factor in one of your high school friends' drinking problems. I think that's cool.
That is cool.
I think
that's
cool. That's legendary.
But I'm
James.
Taking Hydrolite out with me now, you know?
Okay, sure.
Keeping hydrated on the go. Anyways.
Yes.
What are you reading?
I initially thought, I'm like, what happened to my weekend? What was I doing all weekend? I was watching Bob Ross.
Oh, on YouTube?
Yeah.
What's he up to?
Well, he's dead. Yeah. But over the weekends I've discovered the official Bob Ross.
Because other people were uploading his stuff for a while.
Yeah.
And getting millions of views.
Yeah, but the official Bob Ross YouTube channel has weekend marathons.
Ah.
So it's always just running live episodes, 24.
They call him 24. The grandfather of ASMR. Though he was well before
perverts.
All the perverts,
yeah. For people who don't know, Bob Ross, famously afroed a painter. Used to be in the army,
he
I think.
He was, yeah.
And then for
I think
many
it's
years.
A perm also.
It is a perm, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he just does some real...
just does a nice little painting
just
show.
Just does a nice painting show, very calm and cool.
Yeah,
and
he does beautiful landscapes.
But you know what? Intermittently stressful, and I'll tell you why, and I think other people have this experience as well. He'll do a beautiful landscape and he'll be like, I'll just add something here. And I'm like, Bob, you're going to ruin this. Bob, you're ruining this. It was a perfect landscape and you're putting in the and you've rotten. Oh, no, that's perfect, actually. It's actually perfect. Don't forget I said anything, Bob. Don't even worry about it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So you just had it on your TV?
Just have it on my TV.
Or is it something you would want to attempt?
No, but I like that other people are doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there was that Owen Wilson movie where he played a variation on Bob Ross. And he popped, like, there was the last Deadpool movie, he did a Bob Ross in the trailer.
I remember that, yeah.
And all that. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah. Good stuff. Well, I just started because just before you got here, I watched the first 10 minutes of Monarch.
Okay, great.
So of course, we're making our way through the four new MonsterVerse movies, mm-hmm. and they all lead into Monarch.
And so, this is a prequel sequel.
It's set after Godzilla 2014, but before King of Monsters, I think.
Interesting.
I don't know specifically. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's fun.
So spoilers. No. So there'll be
no celebrity cameos.
No King Ghidorah.
I presume
no
not.
No King Kong, probably.
No, but they've got some people who pop up who you might not expect, I think. And big crabs and stuff.
Okay, sure, sure, sure.
Do you like big crabs?
Maybe.
Yeah, delicious.
Like seafood.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
so.
And the seafood diet?
Go on.
The seafood diet, Mason?
I'm not on any kind of diet.
Are you on the seafood diet? Can you play the lettuce theme song?
Yes.
Okay, let's do it. That was a short what we're reading, don't you think?
Classic one.
Oh, God, your loud phone is back.
See, on previous phone, I had to put the volume all the way up.
Now
it's...
Was that as loud as it goes?
That's as loud as it goes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Should throw that away.
I'm not going to. It's a nice phone.
Mason, if you do want to reach the show, all you have to do is hashtag weeklyplanetpod on Twitter.
So true.
Or weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. Or if you're me or Meso, we can just talk to each other and then we will reach the show.
Oh, that's very true, isn't it?
What do you have this week in terms of letters? And if you do not have one in front of you right now, I will do one.
This is from Jack. Just says, sick on a plane. Dear James and Meso, I got sick on a plane going to Florida from Washington. It hurts to swallow and I get headaches. Can I be the official sick kid on planes of the podcast?
Absolutely.
Yes, that's right.
We're sorry you got sick on a plane.
Yeah.
That's not a good place to be sick.
Do you think it was related? Do you think it was air sickness or do you think it was...
It's sore throat. I don't think that's an air sickness.
Maybe that's an altitude thing.
I don't think so, man.
Okay.
It'd be more ears than...
Okay.
Throat.
I think they have gastro.
Maybe they have... Well, that's not throat either. What's happening? What are you talking about?
I don't know, man.
It'd be like a COVID or what is it called? A tonsillitis, potentially.
Might be tonsillitis, yeah.
Anyway, this one's from Metal Eugenio, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. If you can eliminate one genre between prequels or spin-offs, which would you pick?
Prequels.
Really?
It's rarely a good prequel, right? I mean, we just did 3-hour Hunger Games prequel.
That's true.
And you didn't love it.
But what about spin-offs? What spin-offs are you loving?
Well, Monarch Legacy of Monsters, obviously.
You haven't watched it yet?
No, I haven't watched it yet. That's true.
I'm going to write best spin-off movies and I'm going to do best prequel movies.
Okay.
So we've got...
You never loved prequels.
No, I know, but yeah. I think there are someone. Indiana Jones?
I don't think that counts.
Why not?
Because it's not...
Yes, it is.
It's not... They're not like, oh, this is the prequel. This is the origin of how we got all the stuff.
X-Men First Class.
Pretty good.
Bumblebee, maybe.
Yeah.
Prey?
Not a prequel. Doesn't count as a prequel.
No?
Prey doesn't count as a prequel because it's just an event that happened prior to the original Predator. Fine.
The King's Man. The Fast and Furious movies that are set before Tokyo Drift.
Great point. Well, that's torpedoed my entire
Some
argument,
of the Planet it? Of the Apes. And in terms of spin-offs, Rogue One, this is also a prequel. Deadpool, Creed, US Marshals, Mason, there's some good ones here. Minions, Fantastic
Did
Beasts.
You say Creed?
Yeah.
It's not a prequel.
No, these are spin-offs.
Oh, these are spin-offs. Okay, right.
This is 40. That's a great spin-off, actually. Mm-hmm. All right. They're prequels. Fine.
Yeah.
Fine.
That's right.
Fine,
I'm not
Mason.
Saying there aren't good prequels. Saying that I think as a...
I think you've got more options with spin-offs as well. Because prequels is like, well, he better get the thing that he has.
Exactly.
And with spin-offs, you can be like, who cares?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Who cares? It is 40.
Yeah, you know? That's right. What else you got, Mason?
I'm going to find something. Don't even worry about it.
Why are you doing that?
Okay.
This is from Red Lion Flames, who says, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. I'm trying to find a funny voicemail message. Then I thought, why not ask the Weekly Planet to make one for me? No swearing, please. Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Just wing it. Grab that spaghetti covered gem. Okay, this is from Red Lion Flame. So we don't know
their names.
Name.
Okay, so whoever calls them, we're going to reveal their internet.
Do we want to do that?
Yeah.
Or do we want? Okay, let's go.
Hey, dudes.
Hey.
Hey, everybody.
It's two of us here.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. If you were looking for Red Lion Flames,
mm-hmm.
they're not here.
No.
They're off gallivanting, probably.
Yeah, and that might be your fault.
That's right.
If you'd like to leave a message, that is an option, or you can hang up right now.
Yeah, I mean, most people hang up.
Also, we're from the Weekly Planet podcast.
That's right. Get a plug in there.
Get a plug in there.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that'll work?
I think so.
Okay. Beep.
You don't have to add the beep.
No?
No.
Is this all in it?
I think this is all in.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah, okay, great.
Beep.
If you've gotten all the way to the end, Redline Flames will give you a cash prize if you've made it all the way to the end of this voicemail.
Thank you.
Beep. That was the final beep.
It was perfect.
Thank you.
All right, what do you got in terms of letters?
I'm going to find one. And this is an email from Tim.
Tim.
Who says, my dogs love the podcast.
Wow.
Tim says, I've thought about sending this email for years, but since I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico, episode 505 seemed like the perfect episode to try to get a letter read. Is this episode 505?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Well, then you're in luck, Tim T. Albuquerque's area code is 505, a thing we're very proud of. Can that be true?
They're proud of it.
Yep.
Doesn't seem true.
No, that seems like a lie.
Seems a ridiculous thing to be proud of.
Seems ridiculous. Be more proud of being a reference that Bugs Bunny always makes.
Yeah, Albuquerque.
Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every morning I get up to take my dogs on a 3-mile walk. I listen to podcasts while I do and usually start the podcast before I put my headphones in. The dogs don't always get up from their resting spots with as much excitement as they do when they hear James and Meso, which leads me to the only logical conclusion. My dogs love the podcast as much as I do.
That makes a lot of sense. And it's also interesting because 3 miles is equivalent to 4.8 kilometers.
Did you just do that off the top of your head?
Did I do it off the top of my head just now?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Why were you typing on your keyboard?
Typing?
Yep.
On this computer?
Correct, yes.
Money. Doing personal finance.
Okay, that makes sense. Like, that's actually very important.
It's what I do.
That's great. Yeah.
It's what I do when you read emails.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Tim says, thank you for all the years of laughs, thoughts, and quotes that don't make sense out of context or sound as good without an Australian accent.
All right.
Keep on doing your thing, boys. That's Tim from Albuquerque, New Mexico. P.S., you can settle a regional dispute by saying that New Mexico's green chile is better than Colorado's. Well, of course it is.
Easy done. Happy to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody knows that.
Nobody also, like, aside, jokes aside.
Yeah.
I've never heard of a Colorado chili.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
Maybe it's chili because it's a bit bloody cold. More like Colorado. I had a pen pal in Colorado when I was in primary school. Stopped writing to him. Don't know what happened to him.
Okay. Maybe we should write him now. Write him right now.
All right. I don't know his name.
You don't know his name?
No, not his full name or address. His name was Brandon.
Brandon from Colorado.
Yeah. So if you're Brandon from Colorado and you had a pen pal in 1993, then don't expect much.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
From me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, should we move it along?
Well, you're branding yourself as a real bad friend there.
I don't give a shit.
Wow.
If you told me he was dead, I'd be like, whatever.
Wow.
That ship has sailed.
I sure. Who do you think? Do you think you stopped writing first?
Yeah, no, it was me.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's it's not about that. What it is about is wrapping up the show as best
we
can.
True. That's right.
Yeah. What do we got?
Folks, thank you very much for listening to the show. We absolutely appreciate it. Thank you for telling your friends about the podcast.
I hope he's okay, Brandon, wherever you are.
I hope that also.
Just to clarify.
I hope that also, despite your cavalier attitude towards Brandon from Colorado. If you know Brandon from Colorado,
what
do you email in?
Tell me.
weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you also for leaving a 5-star review on your podcast catcher of choice. You can do it in-app most of the time.
Let me just close all my financing operations, and I'll do that for you right now, Mason. This is from Kerplunk. Who says very few, if any, side effects detected from mass consumption. If you're worried that you might live out your life with a deficit of, I reckon, do yourself a huge favor and get it all over at once by listening to these wonderful guys.
That's right.
This one from RJ Reviews Podcast says, this podcast is good. I've been listening to this podcast since the beginning. It's a good podcast, maybe even a great one, but probably just a good one. 5 stars.
I'll take that. Probably just a good podcast.
I'll say that any day of the week.
Put that on our coat of arms. Tombstone. Well, the coat of arms is on the tombstone.
That is true.
Our joint tombstone. Probably they did just a good podcast. Question mark?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Folks, if you want to get into contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com, as we mentioned. Or you can go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group. You can go to the Weekly Planet Podcast subreddit and Discord for some fun, good time civil chats about podcasts and all things pop culture.
Right. There's so many good things
just
going on.
Just get out
there.
Have a good time chat. Thank you to Sarabi and Maisie and Fidel for moderating those forums and doing
God.
TikToks and clips channels and all sorts of stuff. They're all out there.
Incredible.
If you want to follow some people on the socials, first follow our friend Rob Collings, who edits this podcast and will keep you up to date on all things Weekly Planet. Follow him at Raw Collings at The Weekly Planet. You can follow me, Wikipedia Brown, on Twitter and Nick Meso on Instagram. James is Mr. Sunday Movies
everywhere.
You want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies. Chucking a buck on a man you would not miss. Or you can go to BigSandwich.co, $9 per month, bonus podcast, movie commentaries, early videos, video game let's plays,
all
other
of
stuff. Awesome, so much content.
Next week, maybe Napoleon and new Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah. Traditionally, as we mentioned, we talked about this before we did the podcast, traditionally we would do The Hunger Games and Doctor Who as one episode.
Yep.
But
didn't line up this year.
Didn't line up, and too bad.
Yep.
But yeah, there's a new season of Doctor Who coming out, or the special.
Three specials or something.
40th anniversary special, yeah. I think, something like that. So
40th?
60th?
Yeah. 100?
100th.
10 million.
10 millionth. Well, he's a time traveler.
He's very old. Yeah.
That was a deliberate reference and not me messing everything up.
God.
What else? Thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes. T-shirts are at tpublic.com. Search for the Weekly Planet. You'll That's get right. one. You get one if you want.
You get one.
Get one. You get free. It. You think?
Yeah, probably.
If you hack the site.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah,
do that. They recommend it.
They do. They love it.
That's the whole show.
All right.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Yeah. And goodbye from Ricardo Montalban.
I went upstairs and I was carrying, I don't know, about 8 Oreos in, you know, a stack. I'd hand him his weapon. I'd say, Peter, safety's off. And he wouldn't take the pistol. And he says, Robo wants an Oreo. And I looked at him and go, no, it's just you and I, Peter. Robo doesn't get an Oreo. If Peter wants an Oreo, Peter can have an Oreo. And he clip-clops in the suit over to the edge of the railing, and Peter starts bellowing, Robo wants an Oreo. And when the steel mill just echoes, Randy has Oreos, or Robo wants an Oreo. And Steve Lim over the radio goes, Randy, do you have Oreos? So I stuffed that whole stack in my mouth and then crunched them and let them fall down 3 stories onto everybody below me. And I, not anymore. And Robo got upset.
I haven't got a damn clue about Randy Moore and his fucking Oreos.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.